My name is Jamie Piles. I joined Samaritan in December of 1996. We were homeschooling our kids and we were already thinking outside the world's box, if you will. And I saw a little tiny classified ad about this new kind of idea I'd never heard of before. My first reaction was, that's the kind of thing that we would do, isn't it? And so I finally called the number, talked to them, and the more I asked them questions, the more I liked their answers.
Hey, all, welcome to Cross Politics on the Fight Laugh Feast Network. Have you joined the club? When we get an army of people supporting us, which we have a small little army, a couple thousand, and as we grow that club, it really does free us up to produce more content and to do more things. So $10, $25, $50 a month, you know, just a couple cup of coffees every month goes a long ways for us. So please join our pub army.
Okay, God the Father is waiting and looking down the road for all his prodigal sons to return. Will prodigal America return to the Father in repentance, confessing that Jesus Christ is Lord? Or will we fall to our own destruction and become a pillar of salt as a memorial for other nations? Join us, the Fight Laugh Feast Cross Politic crew, on Reformation Weekend this fall, October 31st to November 2nd.
Reformation Weekend.
In Fort Worth, Texas, for the annual Fight Laugh Feast Conference. This year's theme is Prodigal America. You'll spend the weekend hearing from George Grant, Steve Dace, James White, Doug Wilson. Mm. Can I say it?
Yeah, yeah.
Dusty Devers,
yeah.
And more, singing psalms, feasting on good food, get your tickets today at prodigalamerica.com. I don't really feast on beer. I drink beer, but it says feasting. Feast on beer. Mm. I don't know who wrote this, but you know, whoever's
feasting. ChatGPT,
maybe. Yeah. Feasting on beer. We feast on the food, I guess.
And maybe Martin Luther can AIN to the conference Reformation Weekend.
Hey, are you in Iowa and are you looking for a school that unashamedly declares that Christ is Lord over everyone and everything? Then Christ is Lord Academy. Oh, nice.
Wow.
Christ is Lord Academy. They just took it.
Yeah.
In Earlham. I don't know.
That's some accountability there.
Earlham. I'm sorry. I'll
go with Earlham.
Earlham. Yeah, I know you would. Yeah, I know you would.
Earlham, Iowa.
Iowa is for you. Christ is Lord Academy is a Christian collaborative and classical school that exists to assist families in their God-ordained responsibility to teach their children about God, his world, and the truth that Jesus is Lord over all. Enrollment is now open, but space is limited. So visit ChristIsLordAcademy.org, ChristIsLordAcademy.org. Visit there today. Hey, we're grateful to have back with us our friend, Pastor Andrew DiBartolo.
He's on the Fight Laugh Feast Network.
There's no bio for you. I'm sorry, Andrew. You've been on the show so often that our producer doesn't care about your bio anymore.
Everyone knows who Andrew is.
Andrew, thanks for coming back on Cross Politics.
We have no audio from you, Andrew.
I said, even though you guys don't care, it's great to be here.
All right, awesome. Actually, that's what we wanted to start, Andrew. We care. Gabe and I care. Knox obviously doesn't care because he's not here. But we care.
We love our Canadian brothers.
You, yeah. We care about our Canadian brothers, particularly those of you that have joined us on the Fight Laugh Feast Network.
Yep.
The work you're doing for liberty and the gospel in Canada is so important. But I do think when we do these shows, there's a temptation, especially for those of us in America and maybe other countries as well, to say, all right, well, this is a show I can skip.
Yeah,
because
it's got Canada
it's
in it.
Canada.
Yeah.
Maybe we won't even put Canada in the show title. I don't know. We don't want to lead people into temptation. But like, why? Like, why should people care about what's going on in Canada, Andrew?
So there are there's two ways I'm going to answer that question. The first is very, very general. I'm going to make it specific. Generally speaking, where we are is where you will be in 3 to 5 to 7 years. So whatever's going on here, the Lord has granted Americans a quick look into the near future to see where will we be. And in some parts of the states, that is where you are.
Right.
In places like California, New York, I mean, these hellish Democratic strongholds, they're just as bad as we are here. So they're already there. But it's going to come for the rest of you, because the same way that our conservative party long ago abandoned conservatism, the Republican Party you may still have a few solid guys. You may still have a handful of people. But the truth is, the hollowing out of conservative organizations politically, it's happening here. It's happening there, too. So that's kind of high level. Where we are is where you're at. So that takes us to specifically, because where we are is pretty awful. And the sort of legislation we're looking at passing, the sort of kind of culturally accepted things here, it's pretty terrible. And if that's where it's going, then your listeners and Americans would do well to observe what's happening here, try to learn from it. Now, some would say so that you can hopefully steer this vehicle from driving off a cliff, or some would say so that you can get ready for what appears to be the inevitable collision of this cultural freight train that's been gaining momentum for 60 years.
Right.
But either way, you're going to want to know what's happening up here and you're going to want to prepare accordingly.
You know, Andrew, I'm kind of interested in your comments about the hollowing out of conservatism. What could have conservatives done differently to where they wouldn't lose their principles or lose their values and end up, you know, what was this, the bill C4 that even conservatives were voting for?
Right.
The MP, Vogel, remember, Dick Berendrick.
Viersen. Arnold Viersen.
Arnold Viersen. He ended up voting for it.
Yeah. Yep,
he ended up voting for it. Like, what happened? Because the reason why I mentioned in this, in your analysis on this, is because we have a lot of conservatives, even here in Idaho, where I see, like, wow, we're kind of drifting.
Right.
We're going left or whatever. And is it because the good conservatives aren't crying foul loud enough? Or, you know, what's going on? What happened, you know, 50, it sounds like this is a 40, 30, or 30, 40, 50-year-old problem in Canada where conservatives have slowly lost their way.
So 40, 50 years ago, both of our countries, I'll say specifically here in Canada, 40, 50 years ago, there was an accepted Christian culture, right? Even non-Christians had agreed divorce is bad. It agreed you can't just, you know, murder babies up until the point of birth. They'd agreed that, generally speaking, pornography is evil and needs to be kept in the dark corners of one's life. So it was kind of a cultural Christianity that ruled the day. And so that forced not only an apathy among Christians and a real urgency in continuing to press out the kingdom of God, but it also allowed for this myth of neutrality to make it so that, well, everyone just kind of thinks this way, and we don't really have to really drill down on establishing a Christian worldview. We can trust the education system is training our kids well. We also just accept that this is how things are supposed to be. This is how the government operates. So you fast forward to a world that is becoming less and less, or a country that's becoming less and less Christianized, is becoming more pagan, more secular. What you start to find is those people that are supposed to operate these Christian positions themselves were just like the culture was 40, 50 years ago. It was just really Christian on the surface. Uh-huh. Now we are to blame. The voters are to blame because we have believed the lie that as long as we vote for the lesser of two evils, and as long as we vote for not the outright demons, just the lesser demons who still support sodomy and infanticide and doctor-assisted murder, but they're going to spend a little bit better than the real bad guys, and they're not going to press, they're not going to drive the car over the cliff as much. So we vote for compromised pagans, and by doing so, they realize that they can keep getting our vote by courting social conservatives. We'll tell them that we care about their issues. They'll vote for us because they don't have a long game in mind. They'd rather vote for us than liberals. And we win. We don't keep our promises. We just govern like liberals. And then Christians have been stuck in this position where we've essentially been voting for liberals in blue. So our colors are switched down here.
Okay.
Up here, the conservatives are blue, the liberals are red. And so we're voting in for liberals in a conservative outfit, but they're pagans and they're compromised. And as long as we continue to say, oh Lord, anything other than Justin Trudeau, let's vote in the conservatives.
That's not repentance.
we'll continue to get exactly what we have, which are compromised politicians who won't actually, like, Christians aren't running. The Christians who do run, like the real Christians who run in the conservative party here, are either removed from caucus or they find their legs are cut out from under them before they have a chance to win the nomination, which we've seen happen here a few times. So Christians have no place in the Conservative Party, but Christians keep voting for them because they keep saying, well, we're not going to be as bad as the Liberals. And here we are in this position where our entire political system, all the main parties, they're just different shades of the same pagan. And we keep voting them in because we're not principled, because we're apathetic, because we're looking for a quick, instant fix. We have no long-term vision for how to build a Christian culture, for how to actually engage in Canada for the glory of God, because we're weak, we're pain averse, we're risk averse, we're cowards, and we just get exactly what we deserve, which is our current political system. We're the leader of the Conservative Party in Canada is pro-sodomy, pro-murdering three-born babies, pro-doctor-assisted murder and suicide if people are old. He's actually has no problem with trans madness as long as it's adults. That is the leader of our Conservative Party here in Canada. It's a complete joke.
But how about the guy challenging him? How about the guy challenging him? Is he any better?
The guy challenging him? Oh, you mean Justin Trudeau? You mean Blackface Trudeau?
Yeah, challenging Blackface Trudeau.
This is an unpopular position among many Christians and conservatives, but this is my assessment. The only difference really on a fundamental worldview level between Justin Trudeau and Pierre Poilievre is that at least Trudeau lets me know he wants to destroy me outright.
Yeah.
Poilievre feigns a care and feigns a conservatism, but he's going to bring the same destruction, only he's going to stab me in the back. There's no real fundamental difference between them. They're the same person. And I think that Canadian politics, I've said this before, Canadian politics is basically like a WWF match. We're out there in the ring. They're fighting. It's aggressive. The fans are eating out of their hands. We think there's a real battle going on. We think there's a real fight. Mm-hmm. And they put on quite a show.
Yeah.
But when the show's done and they go backstage, they're enjoying a beer together. In the case of our politicians, they're enjoying some soy latte together in celebration saying, man, look, did we not have them eating out of our hands?
Right.
They actually think that there's a conflict. They think we actually don't like each other.
Right.
That's what's happening here. They're fundamentally the same person.
Andrew, so this is fascinating. I want to get to some of the specific legislation that's coming. But are you suggesting, though, that Christians who have a backbone, who had a long-term game plan, ought to be willing to basically say, we'll vote for a real conservative as soon as you give us one? And in the meantime, you're not getting our vote. And, you know, we're going to ride in Gay Brench or, you know.
That would be great. I mean, if Trudeau can have blackface, I can have a white Canada or something. I can be president of Canada.
We're going to ride in James Coates until you give us a real conservative. Mm-hmm. And in order to sort of force them to actually give you a real conservative, is that what you're saying?
Yeah, I think the plan. This is what I've said. My desire is to see the Conservative Party burn to the ground in a flaming inferno so that I might do a happy dance upon its smoldering embers. That's what I want to see. High level.
Yeah.
Because out of that, they have a decision to make. They either run actual conservative candidates that we can vote for, or they show us that they're really just liberals with a different color.
Right.
So at least the mask is off. We can disregard them altogether. So until they run a conservative candidate, we're not going to vote for them. The problem, though, with our Conservative Party here is they'll never run a conservative candidate.
Yeah.
The whole thing needs to come down. And I'm not talking about any people might, you know, especially with these legislations. I'm not calling for hatred. I'm not calling for violence. I don't want to go to jail for life. What I am saying is the institution of the Conservative Party in Canada, much like the state-funded education system, mm-hmm. much like the healthcare system, there is no salvaging. There is no being able to Christianize it. Mm-hmm. It must die a painful death. We must watch it die, and then we must construct something new in its place. There is no rescuing the Conservative Party. Mm-hmm. If magically, all of a sudden, all of the leaders love Christ and start running real conservatives, oh, sure, I'll vote for them. But that's probably not going to happen. The Christians need to be willing to let the thing burn. And in the meantime, what that means is a very painful liberal majority. Mm-hmm. And that's what we don't want. We don't, we're weak. We're short-sighted. We don't like hard things and we don't like pain. And so we'll take a little bit of Tylenol to mask the problem in our country, because it's better than having to deal with the headache than deal with the friggin' headache.
Yeah.
Like, what is causing the headache?
Right.
The Tylenol is not the answer.
I actually got a couple thoughts on that. One thing is, if Canada and the Conservative Party is in that bad of shape where it's just like, hey, Christians, let's just opt out. What you should do, Andrew, is maybe create like a voting draft website that on voting day, instead of going to the polls in Ontario or whatever, you just collect votes. Everyone can vote for their candidate and still have Justin Trudeau up there and all that stuff. But actually find a way to get the conservatives that are opting out of the voting system. They could still vote, even though it doesn't really matter about the politics of the situation or about who's actually going to get elected. But they can at least vote and see how many Christians are starting to process and think the way they are about opting out of this voting process. And I'll vote for, you know, have Andrew DiBartolo run, James Coates, whatever, you know, Jacob Rayom, whatever, and still have the other candidates on there. But see if you can start getting momentum for these other, for this third way of voting, basically, is what you're proposing. And then by the time, maybe you could build up 30,000 votes. Mm. Across Canada, and then maybe next year it's 50,000, and it starts to grow, and then now you can turn those voters into actually voting for some good candidates. Just a thought.
There is an alternative, or there is. So in Canada, federally, we have something called the Christian Heritage Party, and the Christian Heritage Party, like, I know the leader of the party. He's a good friend of mine. He's a solid guy. I know the national development director of the party. I've known him for years. We were actually a part of the same denomination trying to fight it from going into liberal, you know, wokeness together. So I know the people involved. These are solid people. Are there some things in the party that have to change, have to update? Absolutely. I'm wanting to work with them. But here you have a party that is distinctly Christian in its values, in its policy proposal, is distinctly Christian, has taken some unpopular positions. The hurdle to overcome is those pesky Christians who say that's a wasted vote. So it's there is at least one option federally and provincially, at least in Ontario. There's an option federally for Christians to cast a vote for someone that has similar worldview, that's distinctly Christian, but it, again, we are so worried about a liberal majority that we will disregard it as a wasted vote and just vote for the conservatives. We do have that here, and I'm trying to work to build that up and strengthen that. So the Christians, so their convention's coming up this August. I'm speaking at their convention.
Okay.
I'm going to try to shake up some of those old people a little bit and let them know that it's time to hand off a strong Christian conservatism to their kids and grandkids.
Yeah.
We have a conference coming up. They're going to be one of the vendors there. I want to help them, because I think it is the viable option. I think it is the principled option for Christians in our country.
Andrew, what about the argument though that says, I get that there's some Christians who the only thing they fear is you know, the most liberal guy getting elected. But what about the principled Christian who says, no, I think this so-called conservative is a complete chump, but he will drive this car 30 miles an hour slower towards that cliff than the other guy. And I'm just trying to buy time for my church. I'm trying to buy time for my children. What about that argument?
So two thoughts. One, 99 out of 100 people who say that aren't actually doing any building and aren't actually going to take the time to do what you're saying.
Okay.
So they would use that as a talking point. It's an excuse.
Okay.
So show me the receipts. Show me your starting school. Show me you are building parallel institutions. Show me you're doing all this stuff to help buy time. And 99 out of 100 people would just say that's an excuse. So I don't buy your nonsense. That would be number one. Number two, I also don't think they're going to drive the car slower. So I wrote a blog post about this at the beginning of 2024, and I essentially said that it is time for Christians to abandon the Conservative Party all the way. And in my reasons for it, I said the argument is that the Liberal Party will be better than the Conservative Party. And I tried to make the case that actually, no, if we just look at the last several years, and again, most people who made that argument aren't totally aware of what's been happening in the last several years. It was the Conservative Party that offered a unanimous vote of yes for Bill C-4. Mm. It was the Conservative Party that, at least in Ontario, that put forth Bill 100, which is basically the War Measures Act provincially. It was a Conservative premier in Alberta who arrested more pastors than any other province the country. That's a Conservative premier in Ontario that spent more money than anyone else in the rest of the country, maybe combined, and was a functional communist during COVID. It was the Conservative Party that removed people from caucus because they were principled. It's the Conservative Party that passed Bill 98 here in our schools, essentially giving an unelected commissar authority to punish school board trustees for not going along with the woke agenda. It was the Conservative Party that was promoting the jabs and the mandates and had no problem with lockdowns until the finger in the air realized that the cultural wave was moving. So these are not principled people.
Got it.
And in my estimation, I would say they're going to be just as bad, if not worse in some ways. And the reason I say that is, like I've already mentioned, if my enemy presents himself to my face and tells me he's set on my destruction, I can deal with that. But if my enemy says, no, I'm your friend, and then stabs me in the back when my guards are down, that's worse. And I think it will be just as bad. I don't think it's going to be better. I don't think we're going to have the time. I think that's all an excuse and a myth. I think that a Conservative Party has no problem with babies being murdered, no problem with sodomy, is not really going to fight a whole lot on some of the globalist central bank digital currency stuff. I don't think they're going to put a push on there. Polyev came out and said that he's for mass immigration.
Yeah.
He has no problem with the mass immigration. Polyev said he would rather give immigrants who don't have their full credentials here nursing jobs rather than the nurses who were fired because they wouldn't take a jab during COVID. Polyev said that Trudeau isn't doing enough to fund and support Ukraine. He should be doing more. This is the guy you want to vote for?
Yeah.
You can vote for that guy if you want to see our country be more and more destroyed, or you can get your head out of your butt and understand we can't keep doing the same thing we've been doing. If we do this, we will get exactly what we deserve. And if we think that our unprincipled voting is going to now all of a sudden bring upon God's blessing when all it's been doing has been heaping on his judgment, then I'm sorry. You are foolish if you think that now all of a sudden God will bless what he has been pouring his judgment upon just because what? Because it's different now? It's not different.
Hey, buckle up, because in a minute, Andrew's going to tell us what he really thinks.
Yeah.
But first, are you subscribed to our CrossPolitik email list? If you're not, you really should be. Being subscribed to our email list means you won't miss any updates about CrossPolitik or the Fight Laugh Feast Network. You hear about what's going on the schedule for the week, live events, conference updates, rowdy Christian merch, updates from other shows within the Fight Laugh Feast Network, and you'll hear from sponsors of the show as they seek take dominion for God's kingdom in the business world. To subscribe, simply enter your email address at the bottom of the page at fightlaughfeast.com. Again, go to the bottom of the page at fightlaughfeast.com, put your email address in there, and never miss out on anything going on at CrossPolitik and the Fight Laugh Feast Network.
So, Andrew, I mean, I guess our Conservative Party is better than your Conservative Party. I don't know, though.
Don't brag.
Yeah, I'm not like... there are a couple
guys. I watch a couple guys in various sessions and in various committees. I'm like, you know what? These flaws aside, there are some guys, you know, like a Jim Jordan, like a Matt Gaetz, like a Josh Hawley. I mean, are these guys flawless? No, but we don't have anyone like that here.
Wow,
we don't have anyone even close to that here. They're all a bunch of chinos up here.
Well, and you just referenced a bunch of guys. I don't trust Matt Gaetz as far as I could throw him. Now, Jim Jordan, I think I can trust him. I've seen him do some good stuff. And although Matt Gaetz has said some things I like and done some good fiery speeches I like, I don't think his personal life has been all pristine.
What's the guy from Texas you like?
Chip Roy. Okay, Chip Roy's a good one. Yeah. But I guess my question is kind of getting at is at what point do you but I mean, I can't tell you how many times we've been stabbed in the back by our Conservative Party here in the United States. I mean, George Bush got No Child Left Behind passed. George Bush got TSA passed. I mean, the Patriot Act passed here, which implemented TCA in airports. Our governor was the driver here in our state for implementing COVID policies that our city ended up using to have me arrested. And he's a conservative. So at what point do you throw the towel in and say, okay, I'm just done voting conservative because I got to stop the leaky dam that's fixing to break. It's going to get worse. And so I'm going to stop now. Here's where I'm going to stop.
I already threw the towel in several decades ago.
With who?
Yeah.
I don't, just because somebody has an R next to their name, I don't vote for them.
Yeah. No, that's true.
I register Republican often because there's a couple of Republicans I'm willing to vote for. Yeah. Uh-huh. But I don't vote for you just because you're Republican.
Yeah. But we're coming up on this presidential election. Like, am I going to vote for Trump or am I going to vote for Biden?
The nice thing about Idaho is that it doesn't matter.
I know, for us. I know, but that's not fair to most of our listeners.
Yeah.
It matters in Ohio.
Yeah.
It matters in some major states, Michigan, Wisconsin.
I think I can see a principled argument both ways.
Yeah.
I can see some people saying he followed through. He gave us conservative justices. We got Roe versus Wade overturned.
Yep.
And he is giving the establishment hissy fits.
Yep.
And I want to see four.
I love all that.
I want to see four more years of that. And I can see somebody doing that. I would agree with Andrew. I think it's still a kind of a delay tactic. It's not the solution. And if you're not actually building something in the meantime, then you're not taking advantage of it. Mm-hmm. And so I think that would be a problem. But I can also see some people saying, I'm gonna wait till you give me a good candidate, and I'm gonna build in the meantime too.
Right.
And I don't think we should be governed by fear. That what happens if we get four more years of Biden? Well, we get four more years of Biden, whatever.
You think you're going to get four more years of Biden? Good luck. You might get another 8 months, maybe. I mean, it depends. If they replace the strings that the puppeteers use to hold him up, then maybe you get another 4 years. Maybe if they put some really good juice in him before his public speaking, maybe four more years.
Weekend at Bernie's is a real thing.
And, yep. And it happened for a whole weekend.
It's happening right now in the United States. It's a real thing.
Okay. So Bill C-367.
Mm-hmm.
What is that?
So Bill C-367, first of all, is the, as I've called it, it is the garlic bread with cheese appetizer to the all you can eat ribs of doom, which is Bill C-67, but 63.
Okay.
But Bill C-367 essentially removes the religious text protections and exemption from being charged with hate speech.
Wow.
So in Canada, if you engage in hate speech and you say, well, this isn't me, it's not my opinion, this is what the Bible says, this thousands-year-old documents that Christians and ethnic Jews long before that believed to be true, so I'm appealing to that, then you would be exempt.
Yeah.
Right? So if I say, for example, you're not a woman, you're a dude. Mm. Doesn't matter how much makeup you put on, you're a guy. That's the truth.
Uh-huh.
Oh, that's hate speech. Well, no, this is what male and female he made them.
Right.
This is me appealing to the scriptures. Oh, well, looks like we can't charge Andrew with hate speech. So Bill C-367 is, let's remove those religious text protections and exemptions.
Goodness.
So now if Andrew says that you're a dude and then he appeals to the scriptures, they'll say, well, sorry.
Doesn't matter.
You can't appeal to the religious text. You're going to jail. So right now, the maximum penalty under... it's Bill C-367 wants to amend the criminal code.
Mm-hmm.
So Section 319 of the criminal code is where it offers these religious text protections. So this bill would remove those from the criminal code.
Okay.
And right now, the maximum penalty is 2 years in prison for engaging in hate speech. Now, this bill C-367 is nothing. This is a grain of sand as opposed to the mountain that's on the other side, which is Bill C-63, is the Online Harms Act. This is the real doozy that they've been working on for 5 years.
Okay.
And it's been taking them that long. It was first Bill C-26, and during COVID, it didn't make it through. And then they've been working on it. And now the Liberal government, just a week ago, has tabled Bill C-63, which is the Online Harms Act, which is this is 1984 type stuff. I'm not being hyperbolic. This is dystopian, totalitarian. This is pretty incredible stuff that the Liberal government wants to begin to debate now in Parliament.
So what is Bill C-63?
We have this. Little clip here of I don't remember who.
Actually, they played it on their show.
Oh, this that's Arif Virani.
Okay, and he's the
Minister of Social Justice. Sorry, I said that wrong. He's the Justice Minister.
Yeah.
And he's the Attorney General of Canada.
Okay,
let's roll the clip.
So here he is presenting the bill.
Profit cannot be prioritized over safety. Right now, it is too easy for social media companies to look the other way as hate and exploitation festers on their platforms. This bill will require platforms to do their part and to do better to keep people safe from harm and exploitation, especially our children. Failure to do so will have a price, significant monetary penalties.
So, Andrew, so what is this bill, and why is this the mountain you said that is like, why is this way worse than taking away the Bible as a defense for speech?
So the first thing it does is it actually ups the maximum penalty in the section of the criminal code I just mentioned. So right now, the maximum penalty is 2 years in prison if you engage in hate speech. One of the things that the Online Harms Act wants to do is increase that maximum penalty to 5 years, and then without the religious text protection. Goodness. So that's one thing.
Yeah.
But that's, I mean, the whole framing of the bill is we want to protect kids from bullying, hatred, and kind of unfettered access to sexually explicit content.
Sure.
And I mean, we showed that clip in our show, and what's amazing to me is right out of the gate, profit can't be more important than safety. I mean,
right.
Other than murdering babies and jabbing your population, other than that, profit can't be more important than safety. So I don't believe a word out of his mouth.
Right.
You care about kids. No, you don't care, but you're cutting their penises off. You don't care about kids. That's a lie.
Yeah.
So you're
chopping them up their mother's rooms.
Yeah. We care about safety.
Right.
Whatever. Yeah. So that's how the bill is being framed. We care about the safety of kids online. The problem is when you start getting into the specifics of the bill, and the legislation is massive. I mean, it is a very, very long read. It wants to amend the criminal code. It wants to amend the Human Rights Act. It wants to add legislation. It is this gigantic bill.
It's an overhaul. Wow.
So one of the things it does is it offers a definition of hatred in the Human Rights Act. So right now, hatred isn't in the, we don't have a definition for hatred in the Human Rights Act, and it wants to add a definition of hatred, which is as follows: an emotion that involves detestation or vilification and that is stronger than disdain or dislike. So if you're accusing someone of engaging in hate speech and your definition is a really strong emotion, that seems like there's quite a bit of wriggle room for them to charge you, isn't there?
Yeah.
And to find you guilty. That seems pretty vague. So this definition of hatred is problematic. The penalties, when he talks about hefty penalties, I mean, that is the understatement of the year. So for operators, so this is people who run social media platforms. This is Facebook, Twitter, whatever. If you don't remove what they have flagged as hateful content or harmful content within 24 hours, you could eventually be convicted and you could be fined either 8% of your gross global revenue or $25 million, whichever is greater. So goodbye Canadians having access to social media platforms, where we already can't post Canadian news on Facebook thanks to the online regulations bill, Bill C-11 and Bill C-18 that were passed here. Can't share Canadian news in Canada.
Right.
So now what's Facebook's incentive to have Canadians on Facebook? I mean, that's the operator, but the real penalty is for people like us who engage in harmful speech and hate speech. So
as a pastor, you're preaching a sermon, basically, is what you're getting at.
I'm going to read this. Okay.
Yeah.
This is they want to make this law in Canada. Everyone who commits an offense under this act or any other act of parliament If the commission of the offense is motivated by hatred, as they define it, remember, vague, amorphous, based on race, national or ethnic origin, language, color, religion, sex, age, mental or physical disability, sexual orientation, or gender identity expression, okay, is guilty of an indictable offense and liable to imprisonment for life.
Whoa!
For life.
Wow.
By committing a hate crime, wow, as they define it, for life.
Wow. Wow. In Canada.
That's how sensitive their God has gotten.
This is.
And not, and it's, and it, that's, and it's okay, fine. We'll wait for you to commit. So just don't commit an act. No, no, no. You're not even protected from that. You're not even protected because now we are going to legislate thought crime.
Right.
So this is also in the legislation. The provincial court judge may add any reasonable conditions to the recognizance that the judge considers desirable to secure the good conduct of the defendant, including conditions that require the defendant to, and this comes right after, if someone files a complaint or says, I suspect that someone is likely to commit a hate crime, that the defendant can either have an electronic monitoring device, can be placed at their residence at specific times. If they believe you will commit a hate crime, you can be placed under house arrest for up to a year. And if you've already committed a hate crime, as they define it, and again, they think that someone says you may commit a hate crime, right, because you've already committed one, you could be placed under house arrest for 2 years before you actually committed the crime.
Wow. So this
before you've committed the crime.
This is why you care about what's going on
in
Canada. You can hit the music now.
Let's not talk about this conference real quick.
We're going to.
Oh, okay. Because I'm going to have to reset this.
Okay. Well, Andrew, first tell us about your conference while Gabe tries to find his button. What's the conference in Canada?
So because we have no fear of being arrested for proclaiming the truth, and because, as we've mentioned, Christians in Canada have not been thinking biblically about political engagement, political involvement, about activism, about the culture, we wanted to put a conference together to help equip Christians and churches to do just that. And so we've kind of created what we're calling the Politics in the Pulpit Conference.
All right.
Kind of picking off the famous, you know, keep politics out of the pulpit.
Right.
No, I mean, it doesn't mean that your sermon is a political speech, but unless you're prepared to say that Daniel and his friends and Joseph and the apostles and Paul and John the Baptizer were all woefully disobedient for actually engaging with political leaders and holding them accountable, then you can't say you need to keep politics out of the pulpit. So Politics in the Pulpit Conference, it's happening in 3 locations across Canada. We wanted to make it as accessible as possible. So we're going to be in Nova Scotia, that's East Coast, on April 20th.
Mm-hmm.
Ingersoll, that's going to be hosted at our friend Nate Wright's church on May the 4th.
Yep.
And then we're going to be in New Westminster, that's just outside of Vancouver in British Columbia, that's the West Coast, on May the 25th. If you go to our website, libertycoalitioncanada.com/politics-in-the-pulpit, when you scroll down, you can click to register for one of the 3 locations.
Okay.
Registration is limited. It's going to be a really, really, our goal is to help equip, train, and remind Christians that we are required, we are responsible to, in some way, and it's different for every person, to be engaging in the political sphere.
That's right.
Whether that's door knocking, whether that's financially supporting people who run, whether that's writing letters to your MPs to say, you know, don't vote in favor of Bill C-63, whether it's running for office, all Christians can and must be in some way involved in the polis.
That's right.
And they must be engaging some way in the culture. And we want to not only offer them very practical, tangible ways to do that by having vendors like, you know, the Christian Heritage Party or Action for Canada or kind of the best, really the best anti-abortion group in the country. We're going to have them there. But we also want to develop and want to train them and say, no, this isn't just our ideas. this is what the scriptures teaches. Romans 13, properly understood, demands that the church realize that they must hold the state accountable.
Right.
Otherwise, who will tell them to obey God's law?
Right.
That's our job. So I think it's going to be a blessing for our country. I think that it'll help to help Canadians and Christians to think more critically about these things and to push back and engage and just abandon neutrality, abandon a two kingdoms idea of political engagement and be faithful like our ancestors in the faith have been faithful.
Well, thank you a ton, Andrew, for coming on the show.
LibertyCoalitionCanada.com. LibertyCoalitionCanada.com.
If you're up there, check out one of those locations. Yeah. Attend. Yeah. Love your neighbor. Pray for Canada.
Yeah.
If you're single, get married. If you're married, have kids. If you have kids, go baptize them, including your twins, Andrew. Until next time, love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Love your neighbor as yourself. Go fight, laugh, and feast. This is Cross Politic.
Music Camp is both a half day and a full day, week-long experience here in Moscow, Idaho, hosted by New St. Andrews College, that teaches students from kindergarten all the way through graduated seniors how to sing better, sing stronger, appreciate music more, and have fun while doing it.
The concert at the very end of the week of Music Camp is a culmination of all of the things that every single grade level has been working towards the entire week.
There's just something so glorious about kids getting together that think like you and sing like you to create something beautiful.
There are songs that everyone sings all together, all of the students. There are songs that the congregation sings with the campers, and the fact that we can have such a beautiful product at the end of such a short amount of time, it's really great.
We also have a recital that students can audition for throughout the week. And if you get chosen, you get to play for all the kids at camp.
That's a neat part of the camp, particularly as the students perform, because they get to see their own friends up there. It's an encouragement to the younger students who aren't as advanced yet and are playing, and maybe encourages them to want to keep practicing.
There's always something new to learn, and there's always a new way to sing things. It's all around just a really great time, and it'd be a great time for anyone, no matter what the skill level.